Love and Light. This is Healthy Talk Show for Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. I'm Robert.
And I'm Marissa. HealthyTalkShow.com/support if you want to help financially produce the show. Our show is value for value, so if you find value in our contents, please provide some back. HealthyTalkShow.com/support.
Show notes for this episode with the links of everything we talk about located over at HealthyTalkShow.com/23. On this episode of Healthy Talk Show, we have lessons on deceptive science and brainwashing children. But first,
CVS is the latest store to stop selling the heartburn drug Zantac. Walgreens, Walmart, and Rite Aid have done the same. Now, the FDA says there is no immediate risk right now, but you do need to talk about it with your doctor or pediatrician.
Has been around since the 80s, 1981 to be exact.
Now the FDA and European Union are investigating drugs like Zantac used for heartburn in adults and children. Dr. Casey Cohen with Good Samaritan Medical Center says studies show there's a chance a cancer-causing carcinogen called NDMA found in these drugs could pose problems in the long run.
NDMA, which is the chemical in question, is in a lot of our foods and our meats and our cereals and water. So it can be in low levels, but I think just the level of which it's in the quote Zantac or ranitidine has raised a lot of concerns and questions.
Zantac in liquid form is popular for babies. However, pediatricians say NDMA is only found in capsule forms.
I have received some phone calls from parents and been concerned, and I relayed that to them. And some of them were still a little concerned that we switched them to another reflux medication.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So they were awfully cavalier about the whole thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The doctor kind of brushed off, like, oh, it's in our food.
Well, look at this YouTube comment from this video, actually. Why is it in our food?
What? Yeah.
WTF, 2 days ago. Good, very observant there, YouTuber. Yeah, very astute question. Why is it in our food? That's really weird.
And it, so it's
what is it? What are we scared? Do we need to be a?
Well, it's a byproduct from nitrogen-containing compounds, but it is highly toxic, and especially if you get it in high amounts. There's actually a lot of instances of people using it to poison people, and it causes liver damage, and it is carcinogenic. So, and yeah, it can sometimes end up in your water with these chloramines. They like to use those as disinfectants, but if that mixes with organic waste, that can make some of these byproducts.
So it's not good stuff.
No. So it, just because it's in your food or in your water doesn't mean that it should be.
So from the bug guy from last episode, call back to Monday's episode where he said there's bugs in our food, so we should be eating it anyways.
Yes.
Yeah. Not this. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they definitely.
Call back healthytalkshow.com.
That was a good callback.
/22. Which drink is best for hydration? CNN's asking. But first, we have a video, so let's check this out.
Turns out water may not be the best choice if you in health news want to stay hydrated. Scientists say skim milk does a good job. They say beverages with just a little bit of fat or protein can help your body keep hydrated longer. Now, they also point to rehydration solutions, you know, the old Pedialyte. And they also work. Plain old water is 10th on the list of the best hydration sources.
Not possible.
This is by St. Andrew University in Scotland.
I love the person in the background. Not possible. Well, he's not possible. What's going on there?
Well, first of all, why didn't they even?
Well, here's the
look
CNN
at the study.
Health, which drink is best for your hydration? Hint,
oh
it isn't
gosh.
Water. Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. That video I played is from it. From the, quoting from the article. Sure, you can always reach for a glass of water, but plain H2O isn't the most hydrating beverage around, according to a study from Scottsdale St. Andrews University that compared the hydration responses of several different drinks. The researchers found that while water, both still and sparkling, does a still pretty good job of quickly hydrating the body, beverages with a little bit of sugar, fat, or protein do even a better job of keeping us hydrated for longer. What do you think?
Yeah, this study was
great. Good study. Very.
It was really bad.
Good study.
Well, it was extremely small, and, oh, of course, note when it was done.
Yes. So CNN's reporting on a study that was done in 2015. Okay, good
and
job,
then,
CNN.
So this study looked at very few people, and then they made up their own thing to study, beverage hydration index, which they
is,
just...
What is that? Is that
it's just the amount you take in and compared to the amount you pee out. And they only looked at it in a 4-hour period. And that's how they reached their conclusion. And you can look at plenty of other studies that say that you don't want to drink a lot of milk. So they would, what were they actually studying? And then, of course, best of all, if you look at the article.
This one?
Yeah. And who it was funded by. So it's funded by the European, it's highlighted, Hydration Institute. And they, one of them is the chair of the Scientific Advisory Board at the European Hydration Institute. And someone else has also received funding in the last 3 years from the European Hydration Institute.
I know what you're asking. What is the European Hydration Institute? The answer, we have no idea. Would you like to hear the founder telling you what the... Well, let's listen. We'll see what the founder says.
To present this new initiative, which is the European Hydration Institute. Jen, thank you. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Lewis, and it's a great pleasure to be here in this beautiful city of Porto. As Lewis said, today I'd like to introduce you to a new initiative, the European Hydration Institute, or EHI. But before I tell you a bit about the Institute, I'd like to explain why it's been established. We canvass views of experts in the field. We talk to nutritionists, to scientists, and healthcare professionals. And what they told us was that undoubtedly hydration is essential for life.
Okay, well, it's not that essential for life because this institute, let's look at their website, European Hydration Institute, bottom of the page. Last site was updated December 12, 2013.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Was this a, what, did they just take a bunch of money and run? I don't really know.
Wait. How do we start our own institute?
And
all we need is a PowerPoint slide.
Yeah. Well, I can't even blame CNN for running an article because I found this from Forbes.
Oh, no.
Five simple and smart ways to stay hydrated in winter. Ran January 31st, 2019, citing an article from the European Hydration Institute from June 17th, 2013. What is going on?
How?
What is this? So they're performing these fake studies just to circle jerk?
Yeah.
Wait, they're just getting the money and probably running, just publishing something just so they can say, hey, look, we did some kind of research and we took the money and ran. That's what it kind of feels like.
That's what it feels like, too. With the way the study was written, you can read it online. It's available for free. They do all these N equals this, N equals that. Just say the dang numbers. Quit trying to be weirdly scientific.
So we need to start the Healthy Talk Show Institute.
The
Healthy Talk Show Podcast Institute.
But should we be the European Healthy Talk Show Institute? Because, you know, you throw European in front
people
of it.
People respect it more.
Classy. Yeah.
Accents.
Ask a healthytalkshow.com. Let us know.
Let us know what you think.
If you got an institute to start.
Switching gears onto prohibition, which according to Wikipedia, prohibition in the United States was a nationwide constitutional ban on the production, importation, transportation, and sale of alcoholic beverages from 1920 to 1933. I am not a history professor. I'm not going to try to explain anything. It's just quite interesting to imagine prohibition and not having alcohol in the United States, considering our modern society and where we're currently living.
People love to drink.
But I have a clip from the Smithsonian Channel describing an interesting way our own government enforced prohibition back in the day. Very clever tactics they used. Let's check it out.
As more and more industrial alcohol is rerouted to the speakeasy market, the federal government intensifies its efforts to curtail demand without threatening supply.
The country can't run without industrial alcohol. It was in everything from perfume to laundry detergent. This is the primary source of illegal alcohol in the country. So what the government then looked at was, can we do something to this alcohol that makes it much riskier to drink, and use that essentially as a chemical enforcement of prohibition?
What could they do?
Wow.
What could they do?
December 25th, 1926. A man runs into a New York City emergency room, crying that Santa Claus is chasing him with a baseball bat.
And then he shortly thereafter dies, and you have 65 other deaths in the same day.
Oh my gosh.
Charles Norris, the medical examiner of New York City, determined that all 65 of them were due to additives in industrial alcohol that had been required by the federal government.
Wow.
That's...
Oh, there's more. Wow. Wait until you hear what additives they put in.
Among the additives is methyl alcohol. More than unpleasant, it's a poison.
Sounds bad.
Methyl alcohol is very dangerous because when your body breaks it down, it breaks it down into some uniquely poisonous compounds. Some of the hazards are going to be blindness, dementia, and of course the last horrible effect is you're going to die.
Blindness, dementia, or you're going to die?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, closely related, methanol and ethanol. One you can drink, the other not so good.
One could say, and some people did say, that the federal government itself was a willing party in the poisoning of people because they were adding this to alcohol that they knew was going to be repurposed and sold as beverage alcohol.
Charles Norris made a public statement directly accusing the U.S. government of poisoning American citizens. A minimum of 10,000 deaths nationwide.
It sparks outrage across the nation. Over the course of the next year, deaths from industrial alcohol rarely leave the headlines.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that is great. And also add benzene. Is that benzine?
Benzine, I think.
I think that's an old spelling of something.
Yeah, that is an old
Either way, benzene or benzine, that is not good.
That's how they enforced prohibition. That's how they enforced it. Just think about that today. Yeah. Apply it to today. Some of you listening might even be drinking right now. These next set of clips discuss an interesting tactic that was used to sway public opinion in favor of prohibition. The documentary is currently streaming on Netflix, which we don't have because we're poor. HealthyTalkShow.com/support. So I pulled some clips from PBS website, kind of bootleg style. The documentary is called Prohibition, a film by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. Very interesting.
But no single program had more impact than the Department of Scientific Temperance Instruction, meant to train generations of boys and girls dedicated to eradicating alcohol, and to do it through the public school system.
Childhood saved today from the saloon, and the nation thus saved tomorrow, is the stake played for in this desperate game. All that is holiest in mother love, all that is purest in patriotism that would save the country from the saloon, enters into our support of these textbooks. Mary Hanchett Hunt.
Francis Willard placed Mary Hanchett Hunt in charge of the department.
Okay.
What were her qualifications?
Well, let's see what Mary Hanchett Hunt did.
Hunt lobbied state legislatures and the Congress to require anti-alcohol indoctrination in the schools, forced textbook publishers to conform to the WCTU's message, and sometimes demanded kickbacks in exchange for her stamp of approval. She also directed women from chapters all over the country to pressure local school boards.
Wow.
They use the word indoctrinate.
You know what's
that's
sad?
That's a really interesting word to use that they're using.
But it's sad that textbook publishers have been influenced since back when.
Prohibition, at least. At least, yeah.
And who knows how far beyond that.
They're just one of the corporate. There's one of the corporate evils. They just keep growing and growing.
And instead of trying to publish truth.
Yep. Are you ready for the brainwashing part?
I don't know if we're ready, but let's go for
it. All right.
Before long, public school children in every state, 22 million of them, were sitting through temperance classes 3 times a week. Kindergartners were taught to chant, "Tremble, King Alcohol, we shall grow up." Older children studied texts filled with lurid misinformation calculated to terrify. Just one drink, some books alleged, could burn away the lining of the throat and stomach and begin eating away at the liver and kidneys.
You know, little Johnny has one drink and the next picture he's lying in the gutter, unconscious. One of their most notorious things is they had diagrams of body parts. You would have a diagram of a stomach, and then they had a diagram of an inebriate stomach. And what happens to you? Well, the inebriate stomach was full color.
Aye,
oh my gosh.
Chance. They were brainwashing the literally brainwashing the children.
Well, it's shocking. That's why you have to be really aware of what's going on in
and aware
school.
Of your history.
Yeah.
Last clip.
Alcohol caused deafness, dropsy, lunacy, they claimed. Not only in those who swallowed it, but in their children and their children's children.
Oh, my God.
And always, some textbooks warned, there was the fearful possibility that drinking could spark spontaneous combustion, bursting suddenly into fatal blue flame. Millions of
Man, dare I say, kids were dumb back then.
I like how it was blue flame, too. Yeah.
Children came to believe it all, and it would not be too long, Willard prayed, before they all were old enough to vote.
In America, ballots are bayonets. You think maybe the crusade is dead and its banner trailing in the dust? I tell you no.
Ooh.
That's also
okay.
Ominous.
So, fast forward to today, and NBC, Greta Thunberg, thousands march in New York City climate strike. NBC News, New York.
Tens of thousands marching down Broadway. On the ground, energy and conviction.
Our generation has been told time and time again that our lives do not matter and we have no historical purpose. We are out here today.
Kid, who's telling you that?
Yeah.
Are your teachers telling you that? Wait, let's go back to... Wait, what's going on here?
Yeah, what's
going on? Who's telling the kids this? Who's telling the kids and getting them riled up about this? Who's doing this? Who's doing this?
Let's find.
Ooh, I don't know. Let's keep going.
Proving that wrong.
School kids led the charge, walking out of class, demanding world leaders take action to prevent further global warming and climate change.
We are witnessing the destruction of our planet. I feel powerful knowing that I am on the right side of history.
13-year-old New Yorker Marisol Rivera addressed the masses at the start of the march.
We're going to be the ones who are getting affected because we're going to inherit this world.
New York City climate strikers demanding fossil fuels stay in the ground, demanding a transition to renewable energy and accountability for polluters. Also aiming pressure at the UN ahead of next week's Climate Action Summit.
I want the UN to hear that as much as I respect what they're doing, I feel like they're not doing enough. I feel like none of us are really doing enough in terms of encouraging and pushing forward direct legislation that's going to help protect our environment. And I think that that's what the UN needs to be encouraging.
Does the UN, are they supposed to push direct legislation? Is that the purpose of the UN?
Marchers traveled from Foley Square to Battery Park, where speakers drove home the themes of the day.
I want to encourage all of us to approach the climate crisis with the moral clarity of children.
What does that mean, the moral clarity of children? You're abusing these children. You're the one educating them and telling them they're going to die, and you're doing this.
And who's telling them that they don't matter?
Yeah.
And you're telling them that they don't matter.
Yeah, what is wrong with these teachers? You're abusing the children. Yeah. There's something very wrong here.
That is extremely...
And going back to the prohibition, you know, let's...
Kindergartners were taught to chant, "Tremble, King Alcohol, we shall grow up."
Chants, okay, that's good. Well, I pulled up some chants from... Let's check this out.
People gonna rise like the water.
Fridays for Future.
The voice of my great-granddaughter saying, keep it in the ground.
What?
The people gonna rise like the water. We gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter saying, climate action now.
Okay. Climate action now. Climate action now.
What does that even
mean? Another chant.
Climate action. Okay.
Show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy.
Hey, we're in a republic, but don't tell them that. They need to get back into school and learn that.
That's true.
let's learn some basics first.
And learn some science. They keep, you know, they keep taking science out of the curriculum at schools.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
He looks like this is what democracy looks like. Show
This is great.
Show me what democracy
looks
like. Okay, I got one more.
Just keep indoctrinating the children.
One more chant.
Shut it down. All right, ready? What do we
Wait, what do they want?
Climate action.
Shut it down. What do we want?
Climate action.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
We don't get it.
Shut it down.
What?
What?
What were they saying?
They want climate action.
Or else what? What
they're going to shut it down.
Shut what down? The climate down?
They're going to shut the climate down. They're shutting it down.
And what's climate action? Isn't the climate always an action?
Isn't the problem? Aren't they saying these extreme weather events? That sounds like climate action to me. I don't want climate action.
Yeah.
That actually kind of sounds scary.
We'll get to this a little later, but actually, historically, we're in a pretty...
Back to that in a little bit.
Pretty well...
What do we want?
Back to chance.
Oh, God.
What do we want?
I like my chance.
We don't get it.
Shut it down.
We don't get it.
Wait.
Shut it down.
It's brainwashing.
I know. So how is this different?
Good job, guys. Good job.
And it would not be too long, Willard prayed, before they all were old enough to vote.
And it all comes together.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It all comes together in the end. I have no idea what the hell is going on.
When did they make the Netflix documentary about how they abuse children for climate change?
Yeah, that's not here yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not here yet. Almost. Closing us out today. Tony Hiller, a guy who looked at some climate charts, and we're going to look at them. Let's check it out.
This is the main page from the part of the National Climate Assessment, which went out to journalists and policymakers. This page contains a lot of graphics. Here's one which shows heat waves increasing since 1960. Here's another one which shows Arctic sea ice declining.
I highly recommend anyone who's listening to the audio check out the YouTube video, healthytalkshow.com/YouTube, because this chart is really cool looking. And it's a really cool video because it's very picturesque. Lots of pictures.
And since 1979. And another one which shows wildfires increasing since 1983. And one more which shows sea level rising since 1920. So we have one graph which starts in 1960, another which starts in 1979, another which starts in 1920, and one more which starts in 1983. When you want to mislead people with statistics, picking your start date is very important.
Picking four different start dates for the same chart?
And that's beautiful. So they make the exact same slope.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Well, you're picking four different start dates. Yeah. You can pick.
I know.
That's called cherry picking the data. It's not a good thing. And he looks at the heat waves.
First, let's look at the heat wave graph, which starts in 1960. They carefully picked a period during the global cooling scare to start their graph so that they could show heat waves increasing over time. And here's the underlying data from the part of the National Climate Assessment which didn't go out to journalists and politicians. This graph is warm spells days, this one is heat wave magnitude, and this one is warmest temperature of the year. As you can see, summers were much hotter in the United States prior to 1960. So by hiding all the data before 1960, they were able to show a little bit of an upwards trend. I overlaid the part of the graph which went out to policymakers over here in this corner on top of the underlying
data. That looks really accurate.
You can see exactly what they did.
Yeah, look at that. Wow. They just erased history. Science history.
And even, it's just crazy.
The red bars are what policymakers saw, and the extreme heat prior to 1960 is what they didn't see. People may consider this sort of behavior to be shocking, but it's actually standard operating procedure for climate alarmists. This graph shows in pink all the data that was hidden from journalists and policymakers.
There we go. Go back to that. Crazy. Ay, ay, ay. Want to watch one more? Wildfires?
Yeah.
This next graph is the one which shows wildfires increasing in the U.S. since 1983. And this graph of U.S. forest fires from the U.S. Forest Service is the one which didn't go out to journalists and politicians. And you can see why they hid all the data before 1983, because there was a lot more burn acreage in the United States prior to 1983. Burn acreage in the U.S. is down about 80% since the 1930s. This shouldn't be surprising to anyone because it was very hot and dry during the 1930s. Fires are associated with heat and droughts. So there's very close correlation between heat waves and burn acreage. This next graphic overlays the graph which went out to journalists and policymakers over here on top of the data which didn't go out to journalists and policymakers.
You love that? You love how they just...
Yeah, that's a ridiculously misleading segment.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
And even then, if you're trying to look at the, you know, 1916, that's not very far either.
Yeah.
So you want to pull up...
Yep. I can. I have to
So just
back.
To kind of put it in context, so this is, you can go check it out yourself. This is from the Wikipedia page. These are estimated temperatures. And of course, our starting point is kind of biased because it's going off the average temperature from 1916 to 1990. But look in the past, how much hotter it had been. And, you know, geological records show that at one point there were no ice caps and everything was filled with plants, and it was much hotter.
Then why is everyone freaking out?
Why
are the kids marching?
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
What is going on?
It's not about science.
Oh, it's not.
Or at least
doesn't seem like it.
And it's so hard to talk about climate because we don't understand it.
Yeah.
And how it works.
And I'll be amongst, you know, we'll be with people and I'll come out and say, yeah, you know, I've kind of questioned anthropomorphic climate change a bit. And they just jaws drop and I've lost respect for you. I've heard some awful things to me. Why? Just for asking questions?
Yeah. And it's weird that we can't even ask questions.
Yeah.
Why
are they lying? Why is this misleading? Why are they presenting this data in this way? Why? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. Unless someone's hiding something. There are political motives. There's money. A lot of money.
It is so hard to make any sort of predictions year to year. Temperatures vary. The Earth is billions of years old, so.
Yep. Nothing is for certain. But the fact that people treat it as though it's this religion and we're going to die. We have to do this.
We're actually overdue for an ice age.
Yeah, that's Leonard Nimoy.
Well, you saw that cooling period. If we go back to that graph, I don't know.
Yep.
I meant the other.
Uh-oh. That one.
Yeah, yeah. Or with back. The... Oh, yeah, Come it was the video. Sorry. Yeah. But in the 1960s, that cooling period that he was talking about, remember when people thought that was the ice age coming?
Yeah.
And
there's a documentary.
Yeah, there was a documentary.
You type into YouTube, Leonard Nimoy Ice Age, and it'll pop up. And if you don't know who Leonard Nimoy is, he's Captain Spock from Star Trek. Carrying on, moving on, or with the wildfires continuing.
Makers. You can see the breathtaking fraud which is going on here. They carefully cherry-picked one year where they could show an increasing trend in wildfires, even though U.S. wildfires are down 80%. And this graph shows in pink all the data that was hidden.
That's all the data that was hidden.
Look at the data yourself, guys.
Look at the data. One more on sea levels.
Here's one more graphic showing U.S. sea level rising over the past century. As if sea level around the U.S. could somehow be different than it is in the rest of the world. So now let's look at what they're hiding. Sea level has been rising at the same rate for thousands of years. This graph from NOAA is made from data from the tide gauge at Lower Manhattan. It shows that sea level has been rising at a steady rate since the middle of the 19th century. Abraham Lincoln, 2.84 millimeters per year. Teddy Roosevelt, 2.84 millimeters per year. Franklin Roosevelt, 2.84 millimeters per year. Jimmy Carter, 2.84 millimeters per year. And during Donald Trump's first term, it's also 2.84 millimeters per year. In other words, there's no indication that humans have had any impact on the rate of sea level rise. And if we go back even further, we can see that sea level has actually been rising for about 20,000 years. 20,000 years ago, sea level was about 120 meters or 400 feet lower than it is now. Anthropologists believe that during this time when sea level was very low, people were able to walk across from Siberia to North America, and that's how the first humans got here. From about 14,000 years ago to 8,000 years ago, sea level rose very quickly, but since then it's been quite slow.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then rounding off his little bit here, about all scientists agreeing.
In 2013, President Obama tweeted that 97% of the world's scientists agree that we're in a climate crisis. That same year, the American Meteorological Society took a survey of their professional members. They were asked, is global warming happening? If so, what is its cause? Look at the results for the top row. Yes, mostly human. 52% of respondents agreed with that, and only 37% of professional forecasters. So just over one half of all professional members of the American Meteorological Society agreed that global warming was mostly man-made, and just over one third of professional forecasters. They were not asked if global warming was dangerous or if we're in a crisis. They probably would have been laughed at had they asked such a ridiculous question.
There we go.
Man, I wish they had asked that question.
Yeah, I know.
Because why are people saying it?
I have no idea. The brainwashing? I have no idea. I really don't know.
I mean, other than money.
Yeah, it's what it seems like. It seems like it's a money grab. I don't know. And, you know, back to prohibition, yeah, all that. And marijuana, why? It's just all, we're manipulating people to push political agendas, and it's not.
Yeah, and it's the fear-mongering, which is scary and unnecessary.
They did the same thing with weed, Reefer Madness, right here.
These high school boys and girls are having a hard enslavement.
Terrible.
That looks great.
I know. But just don't believe. You have don't believe the propaganda. Don't trust your government because they freaking poisoned the alcohol to enforce prohibition.
Yeah,
brainwash children.
So what's gonna be poisoned next?
Vape, marijuana. We don't know.
Yeah,
we good to go.
Believe so.
All right.
Please consider helping us produce Healthy Talk Show by heading over to healthytalkshow.com/support. Your financial contribution will ensure we remain unbiased, commercial-free, and help us pay for things. Our show is value for value.
Another way to provide value is feedback. We love it when you reach out to us. Our email is ask@healthytalkshow.com. Call us 509-878-3229 and healthytalkshow.com/social for all of our social media links. Love and light.
Love and light.